Hey there, thanks again for joining me for another edition of the Healthy Habits Podcast, where we talk about how to create lasting change in your life. In the first episode, if you missed it, I kind of went through sort of the direction of the podcast and kind of gave you some background information on myself. So if you missed that, go back and check it out. But at the end of that, I gave you the first step in creating lasting change, and that was to make a decision to change. And that's the big thing you have to do first. You have to make a decision that you're going to do something differently. And that's a big step, because when you make that commitment, now all of a sudden it becomes something real. So today we're going to take the next step in that, because once you make the decision, you have to really start to clearly define what you're trying to get. And that's the focus of today's podcast. So again, if you missed that, go back and check it out. But the step number two today that we're going to talk about is clearly defining your goals. And I like to say we're trying to live our life on purpose. So we have to create clearly defined goals. And you can have probably, I would say, up to three is what I've found to be the most effective. Greg Bell, in his book called Water the Bamboo, says that having too many goals is just as bad as having no goals at all. So I try to break it down. I want to have three goals at any one time, all in different areas of my life. But right now, I have one primary goal, and that's to get to my ideal weight. So you can have up to three, I think, and be pursuing those. And it helps if maybe they kind of feed off of each other, which mine do. But, you know, you have that one primary goal, and then you can have up to two others. But if you get past three, you kind of lose focus and you get diluted. So I think it makes sense to have no more than three goals at any one time. The key with having good goals is that they need to be measurable and they need to have a deadline. So instead of saying, I want to be a millionaire, you know, what kind of millionaire do you want to be, and how long do you plan on taking in order to achieve that? Because the time frame that you set is going to kind of figure out how you're going to have to make that happen. So with any goal, you have to have a clearly defined target. Okay, you have to be able to know what you're aiming at. It has to be able to be measured, and it has to have some kind of time frame to it. And it kind of reminds me of this story that illustrates the difference between living your life on purpose and just kind of going with the flow, which I think is what most people do and what I did for the first 10 years of my professional life. That's kind of how I lived my life. I just sort of went with the flow, didn't think about getting better at my job, didn't think about what I ate, didn't think about my activity level, didn't really think about how I was spending my time on my off time, didn't think about really any of those things. And so, as I look at it now, and I don't know if I came up with it, I'd like to think I came up with it, but I probably stole it from somebody. I have a phrase I use that says, if you don't define your life will define you. And that's sort of what happens, is that if you don't really set parameters on what you're going to do, how you're going to invest your time and your energy, then other things in your life will dictate how you spend your time, how you spend your energy. And usually those things are unproductive and not what you're passionate about and don't help you get to your goals. So anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Back to the story. So the story, when I was a seventh grader in like 1992, Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer were hot. And Vanilla Ice was hot for like, I don't know, like maybe 2 weeks. You know, he had this one-hit wonder, Ice Ice Baby, and he was on fire. So I was a big fan of music. I would kind of learn all the songs, and then I would, I'd sing them, lip-sync them, whatever. So anyway, I was at a friend's birthday party, and they had a lip-sync contest. And this was like at the peak of Vanilla Ice's popularity. It's probably like a week and a half in. Like he was just right on he was blowing up. So I remember, I got a couple of friends, a couple of girls, a couple of guys to dance for me, and I lip synced to Ice Ice Baby. And I won this lip sync contest. And it was like the cool people, like, oh man, high fives, got high fives from the family. I mean, walked out of there thinking I was incredible. I had a clearly defined idea of what I wanted to do, and I just went out and I just crushed it. I executed it. It was awesome. So I was feeling good that night. About a week later at school, a teacher that I don't really know approaches me in the hallway and says, hey, I heard you did this really great lip sync at this birthday party. We're having this assembly at school. We'd really like you to do that same thing. Well, while she approached me, Vanilla Ice was no longer cool. Like, not at all. So that's the first strike, and probably when I should have said no. But I was, you know, I was willing to entertain offers. You know, I was a budding superstar in the making. And so I said to her, I said, well, who is this assembly for? And she said, oh, it's just for winter sports. So in my mind, I thought, you know, 40, 50 people, no big deal. Like, how many kids really play sports at a middle school? Yeah, okay, it's fine. We'll do it. I told her, hey, we got to do a different song. You know, that the song we did isn't cool, but let me see what I can do. We'll work something out, you know. And it was about 2 weeks away. So, okay, that's fine. So we worked out a song to, we worked out a dance routine and everything to a song called Knockin' Boots, which is exactly what you think it is about and is definitely not appropriate for middle school assembly. So we had, you know, there's probably six or seven people in our dance routine. You know, we had a bunch of kick flips, some kid and play stuff, you know, things that if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, you would know what we were doing. Some Running Man, Roger Rabbit, like, I mean, there was some good stuff going on. Anyway, the day before the assembly, our vice principal wants to listen to the song and see the routine. So we do it for her. She's like, wow, that was awesome, you know, good job, pretty cool. And we're like, all right, cool, we passed that test. She didn't kibosh it, good to go. So that night, I go to the MC Hammer concert. He was huge. You Can't Touch This was all over. Oprah was interviewing him. Like, all, everybody knew what You Can't Touch This was. Everybody knew who MC Hammer was. So I went to the concert that night, and it was awesome. I mean, he had like 70 dancers, the Hammer pants. I mean, the whole thing. It was just incredible. So I had this just incredible picture of what that looked like. So the next day, the day we're supposed to perform, I'm hyped because I was at that concert last night. I'm feeling like, dang, that was sick. We're just going to shut it down here at Cedar Park Middle School. We're going to be just like what I saw last night. So the principal calls us in the office and says, hey, I want to hear the song. You know, I just need to make sure, you know, I know the vice principal heard it yesterday, but I just want to check. So we put it on for him. And at the end of that, he's like, well, I got a couple questions here. First of all, what exactly is Knockin' Boots? And I remember one of my friends said, well, you know, it's like dancing. He's like, well, at one point in the song, it says, Knockin' Boots on the waterbed. He's like, yeah, have you ever danced on your bed before? He's like, that's not what this means. So he tells us we can't do it. You know, so we're all like, all right, that's fine. He says, no. I still want you to do something, just not that song. Now, this is about an hour before we're supposed to do it, right? So all my friends in the room are like, hey, we can't, what are you talking about? There's no way, right? But in my mind, I was just at the MC Hammer concert. I saw it done right. Like, we'll just do, You Can't Touch This, no big deal. So I raised that issue to my friends. I kind of bring up this idea. They're like, no way, man. Like, the dance is all choreographed to this one song. No way, we can't do it, you know? I'm like, hey, man, we can do whatever we want. We're, you know, except for the song, apparently, that we wanted to do. You know, I'm like, we can do it, you know, no big deal. I'll just run back to my house and get the tape. We'll fire it up, a tape, not even CD. That's dating myself. But anyway, we'll go back. I'll get the tape. I'll bring it. We'll just crush it. We'll do, like, the dances that we were doing. No problem. So I run home, get the tape, come back. We put it on, and it was, the lights go out, right? We're like the finishing act of the assembly. The lights go out, and kids were going nuts because, you know, the gym goes dark at a middle school assembly. Like, people are going nuts. Like, kids are like, yay, you know? Someone gets on the mic and says, Cedar Park Intermediate School, please welcome some very special guests. And people are freaking out because they're like, dang, we got special guests. What's going on? You know, they turn the lights on, and there's like 8 seventh graders, and we were the youngest kids in the school, 7, 8, 9 at that point, just standing there scared out of our minds, right? So kids are yelling like, yes, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden, the lights come on, and they're like, these are the special guests, these clowns. So the music starts, and I can barely hear it. Like, the sound system in the gym is terrible. I can hear like maybe every 10th, 15th word, something like that. I can barely hear it. So I'm trying to like keep it in my head while I'm lip syncing, you know, and I'm looking out and it is just stillness. Like, kids are not into it. No one's into it. They're looking at us like we're idiots. You know what I'm thinking? Okay, we're off to a rough start here. Let me look behind me and see what the posse's doing. I'm sure they're killing it. I turn around and they're all doing the Running Man, like not in sync, not in any kind of, like, they're just all doing the Running Man. I'm like, okay, this is a bad look so far. We're really, we're struggling. I'm about two strikes right now. I was like, I know what I need to do. I need to go in the crowd and get them hyped. So I walk up into the crowd, and I kid you not, the crowd parts like the Red Sea, bro. They move out of the way. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, how are they, like I have some kind of infection. They move away from me. I'm like, oh, man. So I got back out of there real quick. I'm like, okay, definitely that was a bad idea too. All the while, can barely hear the song, trying to keep it all together, feeling real bad. And so finally, I start to see some movement up in the corner of my eye. I'm like, okay, here we go. People are getting into it. We got them now. And I look up, and it's two teachers dancing. That's it. Like, no one else. Kids are all still staring at us. Oh, man, this is a horrible situation. Horrible situation. So I'm just hoping that, you know, the song ends soon. It's bad enough as it is. And what I don't notice is that someone stops the tape. So remember, I couldn't hear it. So I'm just still rapping, just, you know. And the crazy part is that all the people behind me, the sound system was good enough, they could all hear. So they stopped dancing. And they had already started, like, getting off the stage. They're like, oh, man, it's a bad situation. Me, I'm out there still lip syncing to music that's no longer playing, and I'm out there by myself. I'm like, oh my gosh. I turn around, I see them walking off, I realize there's no music, and I'm just like, oh man. And I just turn around, I walk off, and no one is cheering. Like, no one's clapping, no one thinks it's awesome, like, not even sympathy claps. It's just silent. It was like the worst situation ever. And the whole point of that story, how it relates to having clear goals and having a set agenda for what you're trying to accomplish, is that I didn't really have a clear understanding of what I was getting into. You know, when I was in the setting already, the music, the song, I was did my thing, it was all to have control over me in the situation. And so that's why it's really important to have clear goals and have a clear agenda for what you're trying to step in your life on, having clear. And okay, so instead of saying you set out in 2 months or the next 3 months, and so that way you're down working on that next have your goal and making it a series of steps that we need to do. But the first thing you got to do after you make a decision is you have to really decide, what am I really trying to do? Okay, and then the next step after you have that goal in your mind, you have to write it down. Okay, only 3% of Americans have written goals. 3%, and only 1% of Americans actually review those goals on a regular basis. That's crazy to me. So that means that 97% of people are living with either unwritten goals or no goals. And unwritten goals are usually not very effective. I had tons of unwritten goals in my life. None of them came to fruition. So unless you're writing stuff down and you're reviewing those goals, you really don't have any goals. And if you do that, if you just take that one step of writing your goals down and reviewing them, you're already ahead of 99% of the rest of America. That's incredible. Just by writing your goals down. That's it. That's all you have to do. You know, reviewing them, write them down, you're already ahead of 99% of the population of the United States. Awesome, right? So after that, then after you write it down, you know, you come up with three good goals. You have your one primary goal, two other goals that either support that or are in different areas of your life, but you have no more than three. So you write those goals down. They're measurable and they have a deadline on them. Okay. Then you write them down. The next thing you have to do, the final thing we're going to talk about today, is you have to tell people about it. You have to find some people to tell. Now, when I first started, my goal was to get from 289.5 to 220. I thought, okay, if I could do that, that'd be crazy. And if I could get there, I'd be super happy to be there. And I remember thinking at the time too, like, I don't know, I've tried to do this a bunch of times before. I'm not really sure I could do it, you know, and I was really embarrassed. I didn't want people to know I weighed 289.5 pounds. Like, that's not something to brag about, you know, and it's not something I wanted people to know about. But I knew that if I was going to be effective, a few people had to know. So I took three of my closest friends and I told them about it. Now, maybe you tell your wife, your husband, you know, whatever, you tell, you know, your best friend, your parents, somebody, you know, and sometimes, like, maybe you're too close to somebody, like, I don't really, then find someone that you feel comfortable with and tell them what your goal is. Better yet, email them your written goals. Tell them, hey, these are the things I'm trying to accomplish. This is the timeline that I'm trying to accomplish it by. You know, could you please just check in with me, help me stay accountable, do something like that, like I mentioned in the first podcast. Maybe get on stick.com and, you know, or put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter. Do something where you're telling people. Now, like I said, you don't have to tell everybody all at once. You know, I didn't, like I said, I was really embarrassed about being 289.5. So it wasn't like I was ready to put my weight on Facebook. But as I started to make some progress and I got stuck, you know, a friend of mine was like, hey, if you really want to put some more social pressure on yourself, post your weight every week on Facebook. Okay, so that was like an added layer. But that didn't happen until 2 or 3 months into what I was doing. So you don't have to do that right away, but you do need to tell somebody else. It can't just be your own written goals. You have to tell somebody else. So again, with goals, that second step is defining clear goals, living your life on purpose. So the key things I hit on today, make sure you have no more than three, and that every goal you can measure and has a timeline on it, that you write them down, you review them, and that you tell someone else about them. If you do those things with a clear decision that you made, you have some good goals, and then the next time we'll talk about what to do next. But you take those first two steps, shoot, you're already ahead of most of the population of the country. And again, everything we're doing is how do we create lasting change, stuff that's gonna happen for the long term. So those first two steps are what we need to get accomplished. So get those things done, and then we'll talk about what happens next in the next podcast. Thanks for joining me.